pick a window. This is the Defenestrate Media Network.
Oh, wow. I don't know about the costume, but that's some set of wheels.
Hi, I'm Marv Wolfman, and you're listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast.
You're listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast. I am your host, the radioactive professor of all things comic book, J.C. Carter. Joining me today on the show, my super friends. In the north, our punk pixie, Miss Jocelyn Christensen.
Hi, guys.
And on the bridge of his own private enterprise, our very own Admiral James Tiberius Batman, Laird Jeff Bell.
When you find yourself in a busy retail situation, remember, it's in the Bible, I think. Don't be a dick.
Don't be a dick.
We're going to talk about this later.
Yes.
But don't be a dick.
I had to put that in a missive today, or in my latest newsletter to say, don't be a dick at Free Comic Book Day. Because it's important. It's important. We'll talk about that. What do we got? What happened this week? What happened last week? Let's start with that. What happened last week? The computer we used to talk to each other burned out its video card.
Yes, it did.
And so therefore we couldn't record. So we dropped the 250th episode. Since the 250th episode, Jeff has clearly gotten a promotion because I remember calling him Captain James Tiberius Batman. And it was also a post FanX or something event because Bobby D and I were talking about FanX.
Yep.
And and then I had to fuck off like in the middle of the show too, which was funny. So yeah.
Honestly, I picked it because it was a milestone, and I was going to pick 300, but 300 is on this hard drive that's still waiting for me to get the data pulled off it.
Oh, dear.
I've discovered I got a hard drive. I got to do that, too, as well. So.
Data recovery is like stupid fucking expensive.
Mm-hmm.
For this, just this one drive, if I don't give a fuck how long it takes them, it's $700. And it's like,
really?
Do I really need to spend $700 so I can drop episode 300 when something else breaks? And the answer is yes. Yes, I do. I really need to get this thing.
You probably do. Yeah.
Well, there's a plan. This is dry, so I'll do it very fast. But I'm basically going to move all of our hosting off of GoDaddy onto the Amazon Web Service.
Nice.
And that will allow me to put all of our back episodes up. Because right now, with our current hosting plan, I can only put up about 50 before it starts running so slow it's pointless. So each show has 50 episodes current. Every 10 weeks I go in, I take the previous 10 out. And it's annoying.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like people to be able to listen to whatever they want to. Not that a lot of people spend a lot of time in the archives of this show. But more archive divers for this show than the left show. So, because that's all current news, and this is also current news. I don't know.
This is more topical, though. Like, the left show is current. Like, what is happening right this minute?
Well, it's, so the left show's like an injection.
Yeah.
And the comic book show's like an ointment.
Yeah.
Yes.
And if you're curious what we talked about, some old comic, whether it was worth buying, it's worth going back and listening, diving back and taking a listen. And sometimes, I don't know, I've like in the early days of podcasting, I would go back and try to get as far back into their episodes as I could just to hear it, just to hear what they were up to.
I haven't listened. Evolution.
Yeah, and I haven't really listened to many podcasts since the pandemic, since I started working from home, because I'm not commuting. And that was when I would listen to podcasts, was when I was commuting. So, yeah.
So anyway, that's where we are. That's what's going on.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So yeah, we've got Free Comic Book Day coming up next Saturday.
May the 4th.
May the 4th.
Be with you.
And I will be there in my appropriate May the 4th t-shirt.
Where will you be?
I will be at Dr. Volt's Comic Connection.
Is that Dr. Volt's at 2043 East, 3300 South at Salt Lake City, Utah?
The very one. And I will have my banner set up. I'll have some issues of some copies of issue number one of the Shaolin Nun. Because I don't have the trade available yet. Story on that one is pending. But the I did get number one printed. This is an all ages edition, I want to say. Basically, yes. I Grolix all the swears. So, yeah. So if you got a kid who this time, when a dad or a mom come up with a little girl who's really excited about the book and ask if it's appropriate for kids, I can look at them and say, yes, yes, this one's fine for kids. Before I'd have to say, well, do you mind if there's swears in it? You know, and they've been like, yeah, that's no problem. I'm like, yeah, no, it's appropriate. I don't have anybody, you know, we don't have wild sex parties or anything in this book. So yeah, it's fine. It's fine.
Oh, well,
fine. How are you?
Then I'm not going to read it.
I know. Reason for you to read it.
No wild sex parties. No Reedy. That's me.
Well, for you, we have Penthouse Comics. Actually, they're not. Well, they're not wild, but they do have sex parties. So yeah,
they do. They do.
Boring sex parties, though.
Yeah.
Nobody's enjoying it. Everybody's just laying there going,
It's a vanilla sex party. It's just people stacked up in missionary.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, just, that's it. That's all.
One of those California kings, and there's like five couples across it, all in missionary.
Can I put a pin in this for just a second and point out that our adult supervision is what led us to where we are right now?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. Just good.
I wasn't talking about sex parties. That was all you guys. I was just saying that it was a boring sex party.
Like I said, normally you put the kibosh on us, and this time you just kind of took us with you.
Hey, yep. You know, after this many years, it might just be easier to let you guys go, man.
Woo-hoo.
Yeah.
I'm in. I'm game.
It's worth it. It's worth it.
Oh, don't worry. I'll call you out when I need to.
Okay. Yep. All right. Moving on.
So what have you been up to, Jess?
I went to my very first ever concert at Kilby Court. That was interesting. That is an interesting place to go to a concert. I enjoyed it, though. So, little local artist that my mini-me, whose birthday is this weekend, you guys. My mini-me's a giant fan. And so we went, and it was fantastic. We saw Addison Grace with Mads Buckley. And Addison Grace was delightful, as usual. So, yeah. How about you, Jeff? Anything else remarkable this week for your life?
Not really. We went and got Tiffany's EEG done. Ooh. We don't have any word back from it yet. The CAT scan she was supposed to get, there was a confusion between the doctor's office and the CAT scan place. And so we still are trying to schedule that. That was supposed to happen a month ago. But just getting into have your machine take the pictures is just not working out. So, no, still working on it. Other than that, nothing. We're still doing the fundraiser for the shows. You can pop over to thecomicbookpodcast.com, click on the fundraiser stuff there, and if you're willing to help us out, I would very much appreciate it. As a matter of fact, I did this on the Left Show, but our crossover is not that great, so I'm going to do it again here. But there are some stretches. I'm going to call them stretches because I don't know what the fuck else to call them. But incentives. These are incentives to giving. At $250, you get a 30-second spot or a logo with stationery and business card design. For $500, you get a 60-second spot or two 30-second spots. These are radio spots. Or a logo with stationery, social media images, business card designs, and you get to be a guest on one of the podcasts. For $1,000, you get two 60-second spots or four 30-second spots for you, for a business, for a joke. I don't give a shit. You know, as long as it is not advocating and advancing the conservative agenda, I am fine just making goofy shit for you. I'll do it. Or logo is stationary, social media images, business card design, and you get to be a guest on the podcast of your choice. For $1,500, if you give $1,500, your own podcast, I will sit down with you. We will walk through equipment choices. We'll set up the show. I'll do your stingers. I'll do your sounders. And I will show you how to edit. I'll put together your website. Anything for $1,500, you get your own podcast. You know? And I think that's fucking great. I think that one's, because usually when I do set up a podcast for people, I charge about $4,000. So this is a big deal. This is a very big deal.
This is Jeff taking a hit on this if you do that. So yeah.
Yep. But you're worth it, folks. That's what you are. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's it for me. What are you up to?
Just getting ready for Free Comic Book Day. Just finished World Tai Chi Day. It was funny because I said, "Oh, hey, we're gonna do Free Comic Book Day this week," and it was, and Jeff's like, "No, that's next week."
That's next week.
So I go into Dr. Volz. He goes, "Now you do know that Free Comic Book Day is next week, not this Saturday." I go, "Yeah." Ironically, I'm more prepared for Free Comic Book Day than I am for World Tai Chi Day right now.
Fair.
Because I had not been practicing my form enough to really be, you know, you want it perfect when you do it for World Tai Chi Day, and it wasn't perfect. I missed one section of moves, and I got called out for it too by a former student, the only student of mine who showed up, by the way. And he was like, "I think we missed a spot." And I'm like, "Yep, we did." Well, it's okay. We do it again. I'll pick it up here in the third form. Yeah, it was funny. But yeah, prepped up. I will have, as an extra incentive, Greg drew five original sketch covers using blank covers that I had ordered. He drew me five of them of various female superheroes, and he was shipping them out for WasatchCon. They arrived right after WasatchCon.
Oh, that's right.
It's the first time the U.S. mail has actually not come through for me in a way, you know, in a way that's like, what the fuck? You know, because we knew it was actually in Utah. It was stuck at some place, and we couldn't get it to us.
Huh. Thanks to Joy.
Thanks to Joy. So I have them, and I'm going to put them up for sale at Free Comic Book Day. So, and I have my own original sketches. So Greg's I'm going to sell for $50, mine for $25.
Nice.
Because Greg's the professional artist. I'm a hack who can draw portraits pretty good. So I do pretty good portraits. And if you want an original from me, I want to commission an original, we can do that as well. But keep in mind, it will be a portrait. I'm not good at full body. Not really that good at full body. It takes me a long time. And and I'm never happy with it when I'm done. Portraits I can get done and be like, okay, I can live with that one.
But can you do
feet? Having my name on it. I can draw feet. I can draw feet. I'm not the best at it, but I'm better than Rob Liefeld.
Sweet.
And then heard from my artist, Taya, this week. She asked for also to get the script for issue 6. She wants to draw 5 and 6 back to back.
Nice.
Which
That's
means
awesome.
We could have this first arc done by the end of this month with her pencils. If she can get on it and get it done in May, we could have it done by the end of the month with her pencils. And it's just, I could already pay her, and then I could pay Laurie and Lala for issue 5. And then I got to do a Kickstarter to fundraise to pay them for issue 6. But it could work, guys. I could have my fucking book done as long as Taya can stay on project. So,
yay.
If she gets on project, at least I know she's working on it again. So, we'll see how it goes. So, on that note, let's dive into some news.
Meanwhile, at the Hall of Justice,
I try each week, especially if we skip a week, to just keep the news as current as I possibly can. On the other hand, dead people don't really expire, so I did recycle last week's dead people.
No, they kind of did expire. That's the point.
Yeah, they don't die twice, unless you're James Bond.
They're still going to be dead next week.
Yep, so it's fine. I'm not in any hurry on these. This is
fair.
No fun, and some of them are kind of sad, the first one especially. Samantha Davis, actress and co-founder of Little People UK, died at 53. She was married to Warwick Davis, Willow, as you know. But yeah, she died March 24th. To quote, he says, "My wife and soulmate, best friend, devoted mother, my favorite human, my most trusted confidant, and an ardent supporter of everything I did in my career has passed. The most open, warm person I've ever known. Her passing has left a huge hole in our lives as a family. I miss her hugs. She was a unique character, always seeing the sunny side of life. She had a wicked sense of humor and always laughed at my bad jokes." Warwick, buddy, I'm so sorry. This is devastating. Yeah. I am so sorry. You know, normally we make a bunch of jokes about dead people because we're just kind of callous and that's how you deal with it. And in this one, I just want to say I'm sorry, buddy. I know you listen. Friend of the show. Warwick Davis.
Yeah, obviously. I'm sure. Absolutely.
Yeah, but just know that you know, you're loved, and if I had a religion, I'd pray. But I don't, so I won't, because that would be disingenuous. Roger Dickon. There's a fun name.
That's a great name.
VFX artist on Alien and When Dinosaurs Ruled the Earth has passed away at 84. Oscar nominee, created pterodactyls, bats, a moth monster, octopuses, and one very famous chest-bursting creature during his career. Yes, he's the guy who did the little baby alien coming out of the chest. That was Roger Dickon. Yep, died February 18th.
Oof.
Yeah. Now I didn't pull this from then. This article was written on April 18th. But he died February 18th at his home in North Wales, his friend reported. Oh, that's nice. It wasn't somebody that worked for him.
I was actually going to say, is that when his management realized he hadn't been cashing his checks or what?
There you go. His first film, Dickon was a member of the effects team for Kubrick's 2001 A Space Odyssey. Later, he created and operated the dinosaur puppets seen in The Land That Time Forgot. 1974. I love that movie. I've always loved that movie. Yeah, he sculpted several prehistoric creatures, plus a pair of full-size pterodactyl feet for the stop-motion adventure When Dinosaurs Ruled the Earth in 1970, written and directed by Val Guest for Hammer Films, which I have also seen and love.
He was very good with the stop-motion, and yet Alien didn't use it, and that was didn't use stop motion for its effects, and that was really cool too.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, he's the guy that killed John Hurt in Alien. Good job, Roger. You did some really cool shit, buddy. That's a full bucket right there. That is. Yep. Dickie Betts, the guitarist for the Allman Brothers, has passed away at the age of 80. This dude could play a fucking guitar. If you go back and you listen to their stuff, I believe the song is called Jessica. That is Dickie Betts at his best. But yeah, I'm flipping through again cause it's been a minute, but, it's not telling me how he died. Legendary performer, songwriter, and family patriarch passed away earlier today at his home in Osprey, Florida, surrounded by his family. Dickie was larger than life, and his loss will be felt worldwide. You know, Allman Brothers has some of my favorite music in the world.
Yeah?
You know? I think first and foremost is the problematic Whipping Post song. And it is. It is wildly problematic, and yet, musically, it is fucking solid. You know?
Right.
And it's
right.
And it's one of those where you're listening to it, and you're loving it, and then you take a step back, and you think about the words for a minute, and you go, oh, that's inappropriate for a white guy to sing.
Never mind. Yeah, never mind.
Yeah.
Oops.
Yeah. Oops. So, Dickie Betts passes away. Doctor Who star, oh, God damn it. I forgot how to say his name again.
Shooty
Katwa. Slams the government attacks on trans people. It's divide and conquer, he says. As he steps into the TARDIS for the upcoming new season of Doctor Who, the 31-year-old actor has deemed UK politicians as the real villains and monsters who need stopping. Speaking to Attitude Magazine ahead of the new season, the beloved sci-fi show, landing next month, yay, Gatwa shared his distress at watching politicians incite hatred against trans people and other minority groups. Quote, "Everything trickles down from the top. And when you see politicians openly attacking marginalized communities, when you see our politicians openly attacking trans people, it makes it okay for everyone else. It's scary to see that we've got to a point where it's fine to attack vulnerable people because that's essentially what's happening." Good.
I love him. I just do, you guys.
Cutie. Yep. Ezra Miller.
We have
Ezra Miller news. It looked like Hot Toys, the Sideshow folks, were going to put together a Flash figure for young Barry Allen.
Oh.
And went, how about no?
How about no?
Hot Toys will no longer release an action figure for Ezra Miller's young Barry Allen, as seen in The Flash. On Tuesday, the company announced that the figure is one of the two that has been canceled, apologizing to anyone inconvenienced by the decision. The company noted that the figures have been canceled, quote, due to unforeseen market alteration.
I like that they're, like, worried about people being inconvenienced. We're talking about, like, a toy, right? Like, a figurine that you set on a shelf.
The five remaining Ezra Miller fans are going to be very disappointed.
I guess.
That's the problem.
I guess. Lord help me. Market changes. Oh, Lord.
So, the other one that's being canceled is a Sakaarian Iron Man that is the dumbest looking thing I've ever seen. It looks like he basically took a Tony Stark head and mashed it with a bunch of just random body parts from He-Man action figures.
Yeah.
Fair. I mean, fair. Why not?
It's the what if Iron Man. So if you there was an early episode of What If where Tony didn't come back through, didn't fall back through the portal. And he got stuck on the other side of the portal. And he basically munched together this giant mecha style armor to get his ass back home.
Yep.
And this is what they've created was the Sakaarian. But the thing is that it's really, you know, it's one of those where people have forgotten this episode. It was not a bad episode, but people have forgotten it. And it was one of the only ones that Robert Downey Jr. did the voice for. The latest season, it's been all new guys doing voices for Tony, Steve, a couple of the other people. I think Natasha has somebody else doing her voice. So, yeah. And Scarlett Johansson. The irony is with the Flash one is it was kind of my favorite little trope was that he had to take one of Batman's costumes and make himself a suit. So it's kind of sad that, you know, you're not going to get that one. But at the same time, I didn't need the Miller head, you know.
And what the thing that cracks me up
in
an anger making way is how bendy Hot Toys is being.
Mm-hmm.
About why they canceled it. I got to read this quote. Hot Toys has reacted to the rapid market changes, and our team is highly disappointed to this unusual situation of product cancellation, yet it does happen within our production schedule. Once again, thank you for the support along the way, and sorry to cause any inconvenience. As opposed to saying, turns out Ezra Miller is just a big piece of shit, and we don't want to put our name on any more pictures of this person.
Right. Yeah. Right.
No, they're just like, well, the market changed. Well, the market changed because they are a fucking lunatic. That's why.
Oh,
yeah. Just saying.
True.
All right.
Yep.
That's it. I'm done with this topic.
Has been Miller Watch.
And this has been the news.
We take a little break, and when we come back, we're heading to Tinseltown.
Tinseltown.
If you came across someone struggling with hunger, how would you recognize them? Would you notice a 16-year-old boy who got his first job?
Not for extra spending money, but to help feed his little sisters?
Or a mother who's in between jobs and sometimes goes to bed hungry so her kids can have dinner? I am the one in eight Americans who struggle with hunger. I am hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Hey, this is Elena Huffman, Abaddon on Supernatural, and you are listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast.
Tell me.
There is nothing wrong with your television. Do not attempt to adjust the picture.
What have you been watching out of Tinseltown this week, Joss?
So we started a rewatch. I guess it's not really a rewatch for me because I never watched it originally, but Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Mm. And oh my God, that show is funny.
Funny.
I always just wrote it off. It's just not something that I'd ever had time for. So that's been hilarious. And then we're still trying to watch Fallout. It's been a few days, mm-hmm. since we watched an episode. I think we're about four in. I think we have two more left. So that's been really, really, really good. I'm really impressed with it. And that's really all that's noteworthy. What about you, Jeff? What have you been watching, bud?
Fallout.
Again?
Again.
I love it. You loved it that much?
I did. Nice. So I'm about three episodes in on my rewatch. I'm also trying to get the house interested in Battlestar Galactica.
Ooh.
This may be one where it's just for me.
Yeah.
But I do love that fucking show. So I've been trying to watch some Battlestar this week. And then I whine on this on the Left Show yesterday, but Shogun is really frustrating for me insofar as it is beautiful, it is faithful, it is doing justice to Clavel that the previous Shogun couldn't do, basically due to technology. The problem is it's on fucking Hulu. So every 15 minutes, I leave feudal Japan and end up hanging out with the Gecko Geico. Who I don't mind, but look, there is very little laughter in Shogun. It is not a fun time. Wee-hee-hee-hee. Oh, right. What a light, delightful show. So if you're going to throw funny fucking commercials in the middle of that, maybe rethink it. That's all.
Yeah.
Because commercials are bad in the first place, and then if you put commercials in that just jar you out of what you're doing, you know? I mean, we're supposed to be better than cable, for fuck's sake, and we're not.
No, we're not.
Streaming was supposed to solve that problem, and they've found a way to fuck us all over again. So that's it for Shogun. It is beautiful. It's amazing. The acting is incredibly good. The scenes are good. Mm-hmm. The costumes are good. The scenery's great. Everything's just fucking perfect except the commercials. You know? It makes sense when I'm watching Wrexham to have a couple of fucking commercials. It makes sense. You know, Shogun, though, I can't believe this wasn't made by fucking Netflix or Prime Video, you know, that can stack ads at the beginning.
FX has a pretty good budget. They've done very well for themselves. Wrexham is a cash cow for them right now.
Right.
Because of that, they've been able to put money into making originals that go straight to Hulu. And I'm with you on this one. You mentioned this on the Left Show. They should do pre-commercials, you know, pre-episode commercials and maybe a post-episode commercial. Although nobody had watched the post-episode commercial, but a pre-episode commercial, make us watch a pre-episode commercial, run the whole episode and be done with it. Because, or at least, you know, maybe a block of pre-episode commercials. I'd be fine with that too. Just let me watch the whole show in its entirety. That would be awesome.
Yep. So what have you been watching?
What have I been watching? Daily Show and At Midnight After Midnight were my regular watches this week. But we did get some return of some shows. I had a return for The Equalizer, which is always just a good show. I don't talk about it enough. It's a good show. Queen Latifah is fucking murdering it in that show. It's such a good show. Yeah, it's kind of a soap opera, you know, the cop, the adventure show kind of soap opera. But at the same time, I'm really enjoying it. If it hits, it tickles all the right spots on me, basically. SWAT is coming up to the end, or is it? They got a renewal announcement a week ago or two weeks ago. Where they this was supposed to be it. Season 7, and in my opinion, no show should go beyond, especially hour-long drama, should not go beyond season 7. That's just a personal preference of mine. But SWAT was like, okay, if we're not going to get, because they were threatening them. They were saying, you're not going to get a season 7. And Shamar Moore got people to write in, did a big campaign basically to say, we need a season 7 just to wrap everything up. And what they've been doing is, they gave Street his own command down in Long Beach, which is where he'd come up from. They gave another character, got shot, got injured badly enough. He had to leave SWAT. He had to retire from SWAT. Deacon is retiring from SWAT. This last episode that I watched this week was his last episode. And then they got a renewal notice.
Yeah, and so like they're wrapping it up and killing everybody off, and now they're going to renew for one more season, and you have no storyline left.
You'll have Shamar Moore, you'll have Shamar Moore's Hondo, and the guy who plays Officer Tan, who's they've been calling him a SWAT veteran. It was funny this episode. He's like, I'm still kind of a new guy, and I'm like, dude, the guy who came up after you is now a commander of a SWAT unit down in Long Beach. You are not the new guy anymore. But anyway, yeah, it's so they're supposedly, bringing more people. They were supposed to end it with Hondo getting a whole new 20 squad to go out and do SWAT things with, right? And that was going to be the end of the series, 7 seasons and maybe a movie later, but that was supposed to be the end of the series. And now it's going to be you got one more season. And of course, you offer Shamar Moore enough money, he's like, I'm not turning down free money. I'll come back. Yeah. So I watched that, and then finally we watched X-Men 97, and it's the first time the wider Marvel universe has been acknowledged.
Oh.
Captain America fucking shows up in this episode and talks to Rogue, and she chucks his shield away into the mountains. I was like, dude, he's gotta go find that. later she's like gonna bust into this facility, and this military facility, and who's commanding it? General Thunderbolt Ross. And he even mentions, well, remember, this was built to withstand the Hulk. No way that anyone's going to, it's meant for the Hulk to be able to not break out of it, but anybody can break into it. And here comes Rogue again, because she's on the warpath after what happened to Gambit. But then there was kind of some weird jiggery pokery, not sure what exactly is going on. But yeah, we did finally see, I expected to see this character. I'm blanking on his name now, but he was the reason for the destruction of Genosha and all that kind of stuff back in the late 80s. So it all fits. And then Discovery. Good episode again of Discovery. We get a mirror universe-ish episode. They basically go into a pocket dimension where the ISS Enterprise has been parked after it had been a refugee ship, because the Emperor had, or the not the Emperor, but the new Chancellor had failed to maintain peace and had been killed and deposed. Well, if you know your kind of mirror universe history of Star Trek, that would have been Spock. Because everything that it's been alluded to, both in the original series, and we didn't have anything for Next Gen, and then we got a bunch of mirror universe episodes for Deep Space Nine, and they kept talking about how Spock had led a peace movement, and it weakened the Empire, the Terran Empire, to the point that an alliance of Bajorans and Klingons were able to take it over, and they enslaved all the Terrans. And so this was supposed to be this group of people who are refugees, and they made it to the main universe, the main Star Trek universe, and had been, been able to get out. But they left their ship parked in this pocket dimension. But there's this moment where they say, a Kelpian slave had risen up and saved them all. And they're like, oh, Action Saru. And I'm like, it can't be Action Saru. Michael ate the the Mirror Universe Saru back in season one. I remember that episode. They did this whole thing where she's like, pick one. And Michael sees Saru basically standing there with these other two Kelpians. She goes, that one, thinking she's saving him. And then later there, she's having dinner with Emperor Giorgio, and Giorgio's like, Kelpians taste so delicious, don't they? She's like, realizing she's just eating her friend. And I was like, ew. Well, at least the Mirror Universe version of her friend. And they're like, oh, but Saru. And I'm like, Saru didn't survive. I'm not letting you get away with that one. Saru didn't survive. No, Michelle Paradise, you don't get to do an action Saru for this one. That's it. That's what I watched.
Cool.
So let's do some Tinseltown news.
Meanwhile, at the Hall of Justice.
Coming up in James Gunn's Superman, mm-hmm. in the new James Gunn universe.
Right.
Nathan Fillion, whom we all know and love from, I believe it was White Noise 2.
Yes.
Nathan Fillion. You
know, I really loved him. I really loved him in Saving Private Ryan. He was.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Big moments for Nathan Fillion. But he is going to be Green Lantern. Not Hal
just
Jordan,
any Green Lantern. Yeah, not just any Green Lantern.
The worst Green Lantern. Guy Gardner.
Yep.
Oh.
Anyway, and I was like, if you had to pick somebody to play Guy Gardner, who's a megastar right now, Nathan Fillion's the perfect choice right there.
And he's in such great shape from The Rookie. Mm-hmm. Have you noticed how just...
Yeah.
He's ripped.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
I have.
So Fillion says that he admires Gunn's unique storytelling style and views his comic book adaptations as emotionally resonant and family-oriented. Taking on the role of Guy Gardner, Fillion feels his ability to portray the flawed characters aligns perfectly with the complex and imperfect nature of this said character. He said, we were actually at the premiere party after Suicide Squad. He was in a huge crowd of people, and we saw each other in the crowd, and I congratulated him. Oh, my God, that was amazing, I said. It was so great. And he goes, hey, did Peter tell you what we've got for you next? Nathan says, no, he hasn't. And so Gunn looked around the room like someone was going to be listening. We were in the middle of a throng of people, but he leaned over and he said, you're going to be Guy Gardner. I think it'll be fun. I think it's going to be great.
Yeah.
I do. The Last of Us was Max's most watched series ever.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Until a few days ago when it got knocked out by that documentary. About the kids.
Quiet on the
kids
set?
Quiet on the set.
I watched that. I totally forgot that I watched that until you said it.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Ruined your childhood, doesn't it? Yeah.
No, it actually doesn't, because I'm too old to have watched those shows. So, nope.
He started working there in the early 90s, so you might have had time to watch a couple of them. But
right. I would have watched early Nickelodeon stuff, but even when you get to All That, which was the, like, comedy sketch show.
Right.
I wasn't watching Nickelodeon at that point.
You were done with Nickelodeon. I didn't watch any of them until my daughter started watching them later. Mm-hmm. And I remember watching them, and I think I've said this before. We were watching it, and I go, hey, you know, the guy who the showrunner for this guy who created all these shows, making them all one universe, was on this show I used to watch when I was your age called Head of the Class. She goes, oh, he's a problem.
Yeah.
And she tells me what kind of guy he was, because this is well known, you know, before we get this documentary. And I looked at her, I'm like, why are we watching these shows then? You've kind of ruined my childhood. Head of the Class is not going to be that great for me anymore, because every time I see him, I'm going to see a sexist piece of shit now, you know, who lets child molesters on his set.
Right? Creepy. Ugh. Anyway, it toppled. So it toppled.
Yeah, it toppled.
The Last of Us, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, it absolutely did.
Wow.
So we'll have to see what Last of Us Season 2 does. Mm-hmm. Fallout.
It's funny, I saw this and I'm like, well, what about Game of Thrones? And I was like, oh, wait, Game of Thrones counts as an HBO show, not a Max show.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah.
Fallout has been renewed for season 2 at Prime Video. Yep.
Woo!
There you go.
Yeah.
That's good because I started watching it.
Announcement comes after Variety reported that a second season was set to receive a $25 million tax break credit relocating and shooting in the state of California.
Ooh.
So there you go.
So California's gone back to offering tax breaks to film there. That's good.
Well, at least one.
That's good news for somebody who wrote a comic book about a woman living in California.
There you go.
That he'd like to have a TV show done of. Yeah.
Yeah.
Still. And doesn't want Vancouver standing in for LA.
But you'll take it.
I would. There's no doubt I would take it. Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Pulp Fiction's 30th anniversary. Pulp Fiction cast is reunited to celebrate Tarantino's film's 30th anniversary, released in 1994. Pulp Fiction was Tarantino's second feature film, starring Travolta, Thurman, Keitel, Jackson, Roth, Willis, Rames, and Amanda Plummer.
Mm-hmm.
The main cast reunited at TCM Classic Film Festival, whose team was Most Wanted, Crime and Justice on Film. During the Q&A, Uma Thurman praised the Academy Award-winning film, noting that it changed cinema, so it's almost hard to have it sink in. Thurman explained, I feel like I've had an evolving and beautifully growing relationship with Pulp Fiction all of my life. It changed cinema, and it changed every filmmaker I met since.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It really did. I was in film school, first year of film school when this broke, and I was like, this has changed everything. Yeah.
Yep. That was such a good movie. I'm going to watch it again.
And we were there. We were there opening weekend, seeing it at that weird theater in the mall, the one that was down in the basement of the mall, of the old Crossroads Mall.
Oh, yeah.
You and I went and saw it together, Jeff.
Yeah, I remember. I forgot that's where we went and saw it.
Mm-hmm.
but, yeah, no, that's such a good movie. I think the most, I watched it over and over again. That first couple of months while it was still in theaters. And the one I saw it at the most was the now dead Man Theaters that used to be over off of Redwood by the Summerwood Apartments.
Yeah.
Because I lived in the Summerwood apartment, so I'd just hop the fence and go over and catch a movie and then hop the fence and get back home.
Nice. I saw it one more time at the Mall Theater and then another time at a really nice theater that we went to when I was in film school. Because we went there for one of our film watching class I was taking, so went to that one for that, and then had a post discussion where everybody's like, "Why did he keep repeating himself?" I'm like, "It's an intimidation tactic. You have to understand that." Because they were like, "Why does Sam Jackson keep repeating everything that Frank Whaley said?" And it was dumb. And I'm like, "It's an intimidation tactic. It's to make you." You know, he keeps making him answer, and then just repeats the answer because it's like. No, it just makes him scarier, dude. You got to think about it that way.
Yep. But that is it for the news.
Okay, another break. And when we come back, we're talking comics.
I'm Peter Davison. I played the Fifth Doctor, and you're listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast.
Neil Armstrong waited 6 hours and 39 minutes to step onto the surface of the moon. Jackie Robinson waited 20 months to play his first game with the Brooklyn Dodgers. And even DiCaprio had to wait 22 years to win an Oscar. You can wait until your destination. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Kevin Eastman, co-creator of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and you're listening to me on the world's greatest comic book podcast.
Wah, wah, wah!
All right, let's talk about the fundraiser.
Yeah, we're still doing the fundraiser, trying to get into an office where we can set up a studio. We've raised enough so far that I have... paid for hosting. I have paid for a couple other things. I've gotten some hardware. I got a couple new microphones. I got some software. We're getting ready to go. The rest is all what will be paid for rent. And that's what we are. So maybe you own an office complex and you want to help us out for 6 months or something. You know, that's out there. Yeah, it really does. It's just, there's a lot of different things that we can do. Not only new shows, but helping other people with their shows, helping other groups do messaging, making other groups, you know, basically mm-hmm. charities and other like-minded civic citizens. Now, normally I would just ask you to give and then say thank you at the end, but on this one I'm giving back. We already covered what's coming, so please help us out. Go over to thecomicbookpodcast.com, click on the fundraiser thing there, and join us, won't you? Sorry for hitting you up twice in one show. What's next?
Not sorry, though. Please, help us out.
Please do.
Cool.
All right. Let's do some comic book news.
Meanwhile, at the Hall of Justice.
Jim Lee is in charge of a revival of an 80s mecha sensation, Robotech.
Yes.
Yep. Robotech has a convoluted history due to merging different anime series, legal issues, and separate merchandising contracts with Revell and DC. Mm-hmm. The Wildstorm comic reboot in the 2000s aimed to attract new fans while paying homage to the 1980s animated series with some pretty cool fucking art, as I recall. Despite cool visuals, Robotech Zero's confusing plot choices may make it a challenging read for newcomers. But yeah.
Okay, then.
Jim Lee, bringing back Robotech.
I'm excited he's bringing back Robotech. Please don't make it, you know, this whole complication about, you know, the complicated history, the convolution that you had in the last iteration. Just give us a straightforward. Just start us with the Macross story.
Start over.
Give us the Macross story. Give us new takes on the Macross story, and then just go for it. You know, please don't make it like G.I. Joe, where I don't know what the fuck's going on because I haven't read every issue of G.I. Joe that ever came out. You know,
James Tynion IV will be returning to Nice House on the Lake for a sequel called Nice House by the Sea. This will be out in July, so you can't order it yet, but you will be able to in about a week and a half. But yeah, this will follow the acclaimed series that won an Eisner Award. 2021, coronavirus was in full force and Nice House on the Lake first came out and was a good read for those of us that had been alone, locked up.
Yes.
So now Tynion is returning to that world with a sequel titled Nice House by the Sea. He'll be teaming up again with artist Alvaro Martinez Bueno, and he hopes to scare many readers with the miniseries. He says, "My job is to scare my therapist with this book."
What an interesting take on that. Yep. I love it.
So it's going to be 12 issues with a hiatus in the middle, just like last time.
Hey, on a side note, do you get bonus points if your therapist has to seek therapy for your sessions?
I do, if they let you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we made fun of Marvel a little bit when you talk about how nobody stays dead. And it's a Marvel trope. It's very funny. Yada, yada, yada. So they killed off Kamala Khan.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then she came back to life as a mutant.
Yes, she did.
Turns out, it's Kevin Feige's fault.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Feige was like, can you kill her off as an Inhuman and bring her back as a mutant? And everybody else went, holy shit, Kevin Feige knows my name.
That was the problem. Yeah, that was the problem. In a 10-minute conversation, Charles and I rewrote the idea behind it and basically said, no. She was a mutant. The Terrigen Mists, which normally kill mutants, activated her mutant ability. She thought she was inhuman because she was affected by Terrigen Mists. But in reality, she was a mutant. It's just nobody could figure it out. Nobody understood it. That totally fixed the problem. In other words, you didn't have to kill her, Kevin Feige.
Yeah, it seems easier.
Yep.
Than having to explain it to people that think that Supergirl is just a gender-bent Superman. You know?
Yep.
Killing and bringing him back, even the incels are on board with that. That's just what we do. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is my thought, anyway.
Well, they just like to, the incels love it when we kill off the popular female characters.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Because why is there a girl in the comic books, you guys?
Exactly.
Jeez.
It shouldn't be. It should be. Captain Marvel should be a boy like it was when I was a kid. When you were a kid, Captain Marvel was a guy who said Shazam.
That's a good one. I liked it. And then finally in the news, Boom! Exclamation point Studios is ending its 8-year Mighty Morphin Power Rangers run.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
I feel like there are going to be upset fans.
You know what? If there's one thing I've noticed over the years, it's the majority of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers fans are going to be upset no matter what you do. So,
it's true.
You know?
All right.
Half of them are fine. Half of you are fine if you're listening. And then there's the other half that just makes a headache out of themselves. And one of the common denominators is either Spawn or Power Rangers.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where we're at. Anyway, yeah, 8-year saga ends with the final issue of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers hitting, what is it, the final issue, Power Rangers Darkest Hour number 1, July 31st, 2024. And this is it. This is the last storyline.
Wow.
Yep. Good riddance. I'm done with you. I've had enough.
There you go.
Okay, that's it for the news.
All right, well, let's do some reviews. Joss, what have you been reading this week?
I only managed to get one book read because it's my mini-me's birthday. And so we've been busy. We've been busy planning parties and stuff. But I read, speaking of James Tynion IV, I read Blue Book 1947, number 1. This is the true life comic book. Stories of pilots who saw UFOs in 1947. And this first issue is really well done. It's not anything I can't say that I didn't already know it, but I knew of this story in particular, in a comic book form. It's delightful. Yeah. I like it. I've got number 2 sitting right here next to me, and probably once the party starts after we record today, I'll get to sneak down and read comic books because they don't want me up there.
They don't.
How about you, Jeff? What'd you read this week?
I only managed to get through Ultimate Spider-Man number 4. This is the first Spider-Man I've ever had in my hold, to be honest, and I'm enjoying it. It's been a great read so far. If you can get to your local comic book shop and see the second and third printings for 1, 2, and 3, it is totally worth the time and effort. It is a fun read. It really is.
It made me smile when I got to two pages that were basically 9 panel pages because they were just having a conversation in a restaurant.
Wow.
And I was like, that makes me smile. Well done. Because I was like seeing the 9 panel return, as long as it isn't trying to depict action like it was in the golden age. But yeah.
No, I'm with you there. Yep. That's all I had time to read this week. What about you, boss?
So from Image Comics and all that, we get in Skybound, we get Universal Monsters, Creature from the Black Lagoon Returns. This is a setup issue. You get to see the creature for like a second, and but this woman is convinced this other guy, it's the woman from the movie, from the original movie, who's convinced there was this guy who did it, who was dressed up as the creature who did it, and she's trying to track him down in Peru or something like that. And she's got him trapped, but then she actually sees the creature, and that's crazy. So, yeah, it was fun. It was a fun little moment. And then Dick Tracy, number 1, from Mad Cave. And we like what Mad Cave is doing. They're going to be bringing us Gatchaman. They're going to do Flash Gordon.
Yep.
This Dick Tracy... So, full disclosure, I... Still, thanks to comics.com, I I still read every week a bunch of the regular newspaper comic strips. I love them. I'm still reading them. And one of the ones I read is Dick Tracy. This is not the Dick Tracy from the comic strips. I mean, he is. But this is shit you can't get away with in comic strips. There is a full-on bloody massacre in the first two pages.
Oh, wow.
Full-on bloody massacre in the first two pages. Then Tracy showed up, you know, with the cops, and he's like, all right, let's take a look at this. And he's basically doing kind of the detective-level forensics at the crime scene. And we're seeing all the bloody bodies, you know, scattered around, something you wouldn't see in the comic strip. And basically, this is kind of launching again from early days of Dick Tracy, because it's a case involving Tess Trueheart's dad. It's got Flat Top involved. So none of the stuff that's advanced that's happened since, you know, all that with Tracy. No moon people, none of that other stuff, just Dick Tracy. So, yeah, looking forward to where this one goes. As long as the moon people don't show up, I'm very happy. It should be fine. It should be just fine. But yeah, that's what we've got for Dick Tracy. Really good start for a new series. If you've ever wondered about it, and this is definitely 1930s. So the two-way wrist radio will be a radio, you know, which at the time was weird because radios had to be gigantic to broadcast, you know, to receive and broadcast. And his was a wristwatch basically. So, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that was high tech. So yeah, all that will be there. It hasn't shown up yet, but it will get there eventually. So looking forward to that. But today is Tuesday. That means tomorrow's Wednesday. It's time to give our...
You only say hello so you can say goodbye. These two words must make your life complete. You pick out the hearts that break to make your ego high. And I was just your pick of the week.
What are you looking forward to this week, Joss?
So we'll start mainstream, and this was this week. It was this week last week, actually, but we're going to go with it anyway because it's Daredevil number 8. It is a special oversized issue marking 60 years of Daredevil, you guys.
Woohoo!
So that being said, we're still fighting off the sins and Daredevils. Very soul is, there's something vicious with a deep connection to Matt's very soul. It's hunting his friends, and in the midst of that chaos, an old foe with the blood of Matt's closest allies on his hands returns. I'm really liking what Saladin Ahmed is doing with Daredevil. It took me a few issues to, like, jump on him with both feet, but I'm there. I'm there. It's been really good. So you guys should be reading it, because I love it, and let's face it, it's been around for 60 years. It's really good. How about you, Jeff? What's your mainstream pick?
Mainstream is pretty easy. Blood Hunt, Red Band number 1, because there's fuck all else coming out, really, from Marvel next week. I don't know. I'm going to pick it up. I'm going to read it. I'm going to give it a fair shake. Kind of sick of vampires, but what are you going to do? And then DC is putting out, finally, the trade paperback for... Sandman Universe Nightmare Country.
Oh.
This is written by, guess who? James Tynion the IV.
What?
What? Yep.
He is the most popular guy on the podcast this week.
Apparently.
So, yeah. No, Nightmare Country, I read the first one and just never made time to get back to the rest of it, and I'm really, really looking forward to it. So, what about you, sir?
For me this week, from Marvel Comics, Get Fury number 1 by Garth motherfucking Ennis. that's his full legal name. It's 1971. There's a war raging in Vietnam, and Nick Fury has been captured by the Viet Cong. This is the Nick Fury based on John Wayne, not the Nick Fury based on Sam Jackson, by the way. And at this moment, they don't quite understand that they haven't that they have in their possession a man who knows enough secrets to damage the United States beyond comprehension. The CIA, however, does realize this, and they can't risk their enemy getting those secrets, so they dispatch the most deadly man in the U.S. Army, Lieutenant Frank Castle.
Ooh.
Yep. So it's a spy-ish, war-ish story where basically Fury's not only got to run from the Viet Cong, but also the Punisher trying to assassinate him on CIA orders. Fucking love it. And it's Garth Ennis writing it, so I'm just very excited about all this.
It's going to be good.
You're going to need a seatbelt, I think.
I think so. Strap
in,
boys.
Buckle into that ride.
Yep. And then from DC Comics with the absolute worst, you know, the wrong cover for this one. Thanks, Fresh Comics. You confused me when I opened up my thing. Nightwing 2024 Annual Number 1.
Let me guess. Symbiote Spider-Man 2099.
Yep, that's the cover. No, this is the Nightwing Annual, damn it. The Nightwing Annual is coming out. It's Nightwing. It's what I want. This is B. Bennett, who was introduced when we had the whole Rick Grayson storyline, when he lost his memory. Turns out she's actually the daughter of the quartermaster who was a pirate who ran a pirate thing still into the modern age off of the coast of Bloodhaven, because Bloodhaven sounds like a pirate port. A little bit of a back. Basically, there's a backstory about her, about B. Bennett, to kind of close the gaps up on that one. So that'll be fun. And then indie picks for me from Dynamite Entertainment, Space Ghost number 1 is coming out.
Fun.
And David Pepose, who recently worked on Punisher, is writing it. Jonathan Lau, who's been doing all the Vampirella stuff, is also working on it as the artist. And it looks fucking great. It looks so good. And I've always been a fan of the Space Ghost. From when I was a kid, I loved Space Ghost. And the funny thing is even with, you know, the Space Ghost Coast to Coast talk show and all the other shit that Cartoon Network did, the show always held up for me. When I'd watch the original thing, even as, you know, as I got older, I'd watch it, I'm like, this is still just a really good superhero space adventure show.
Yeah,
there's nothing wrong with this show. It's really good. It's not dated. It's not, you know, it's just so good. And yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what they can do with it for Dynamite. And then from Distillery, I didn't know this was coming out. I'll have to be in Dr. Volts on Wednesday to make sure I get my copy. The Blood Brothers Mother by Brian Azzarello.
Who you might recall from Batman Damned.
Yeah, Batman Damned. He wrote back in the 90s during the heyday of Vertigo Comics, Karen Berger's Vertigo Comics. He was tapped to write two really fucking amazing Jonah Hex comics for Vertigo. That was Brian Azzarello. He writes Westerns better than anybody. It's one of those, it's like, you want a good noir story, you go get Ed Brubaker, right? You want a good Western, you get Brian Azzarello to write it. And it's not just Western, it's always Western horror. And he's really good at it. So, yeah, I am. And this is going to be another one of those, what, 3-issue books? The Distillery's doing so,
and they're favorite
big oversized books. So, and I've yet to hear. I think they were doing a trade for one of them because it got finished, but I haven't heard when that trade's coming out. But you might have a trade if these can come out consistently, because I know Jock's book is taking forever because he's writing and drawing it. And they decided to make that their first release, even though he wasn't done with it yet. Yeah.
That's rough. That is rough,
and
man.
It does. It takes a while to get these things done. I've found that out the hard way. So, yeah, that'll be coming out.
Nice.
How about you, Jeff? What's your indie pick?
I also went with Blood Brothers Mother, which...
I love that title.
Yeah, really, really looking forward to that one. And then, because it's New Comic Book Day, Gatchaman number 0 will be out Saturday. Saturday. Stop asking for it before Saturday. What's the matter with you people? Yeesh. Anyway, that'll be available at Free Comic Book Day on Saturday. I'm a huge Gatchaman fan from way back, even though I was poisoned with the American version. I have since watched the non-American stuff, and I'm like, oh, this is a really good show. As I have said to many people, including yourself, sir, their ship was how I've always drawn spaceships.
Yep.
Because that was my first spaceship I fell in love with. You know, I am more in love with the Enterprise, but if I were to sit down and doodle a spaceship, 9 times out of 10, it's going to look like the one from, you know, from Battle of the Planets.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, I'm really looking forward to that one. What about you, Joss?
Nice. Issue 6, which is the final issue of Crave, will be out from Image Comics. Remember, this is the app that you just tell it what you want and then you get what you want. And it's not gone well, as you might imagine. So, you know, everybody's going to, they're going to, are they going to save the world or are their efforts all in vain to stop the rollout of the app on the college campus? So stay tuned. We'll see if everybody lives or not, because he was looking a little iffy there in issue of 5. And that's all it right. for that.
All right. Well, as Jeff mentioned, it's Free Comic Book Day on Saturday. And we got a preview of the comic books that are coming out for Free Comic Book Day. So let's give our picks for Free Comic Book Day. Joss, what's your pick?
My pick for Saturday, May 4th, Free Comic Book Day, is Romeo versus Juliet, a Kill Shakespeare adventure. Because I'm not the biggest fan of Romeo and Juliet, but you're going to add murder into it. So let's see if that makes it better. They're sworn enemies dueling to the death instead of lovers. So, I don't know.
Basically, it's what was going on in the play that they right. didn't follow along with, those two rebellious children. Yes.
Right. So it says it's tailor-made for fans of Neil Gaiman and Lore Olympus. I know who Neil Gaiman is, and I do love him. So it looks pretty interesting. How about you, Jeff? What's your Free Comic Book Day pick?
Gotchamon.
Gotchamon.
Number 0.
Gotchamon 0. Yep.
How about you, sir?
This is from Vault Comics, Dying Inside. Now, Vault Comics, when they debuted on Free Comic Book Day with this really cool book called The Mall. And then it took them fucking forever to get the issues out because they got picked up. They got optioned. And so everybody went crazy about the optioning and fought over and then got into fights over the money. And nobody was actually drawing the book. They finally got through their contractual agreement to get the book out before the end. And yet we've heard nothing about The Mall coming to a movie theater or as a TV series anytime soon. But this is from Pete Wentz, Fallout Boy, Pete Wentz. Writing with Hannah Klein, you know. And then Lisa Stirl is doing the artwork on it. It's Ash's big finale. She's exiting the stage permanently. She's a 16-year-old girl with more angst than Ian Curtis and Elliot Smith combined. She's apathetic and therefore believes death is the easiest route to relief. That doesn't mean she won't go out with a bang. Nothing is more embarrassing than a lame death. Unfortunately, her meticulous plans, which include the perfect outfit, soundtrack, and method, are all ruined when the beautiful knife she buys off a web store turns out to be charmed with a protection spell. Now Ash has to track down the witch who turned her clocking out attempt into the worst gift imaginable, immortality. So she stabs herself with this knife.
Oh, no.
Herself, it makes her immortal.
As a 16-year-old girl?
As a 16-year-old angsty girl, yes.
Oh, Jesus. God save us all.
Turns out the witch responsible is another 16-year-old girl named Liv. So we got Ash and Liv. And the two vow to undo the charm together and fight for Ash's death. I am excited. I want to read this book. And so getting it as an offering for Free Comic Book Day, it has me delighted. Now let's take a moment before we dive into our pick of the future and talk a little bit about Free Comic Book Day etiquette. Jeff?
Hi. Don't be a dick. You know what? Seriously.
Yeah.
Everything that's free has a logo that says free on it. Anything without that logo is not free. Don't argue. Don't give me that, oh, I suppose it must be free. It's Free Comic Book Day. Ah, so you're not funny. That's
it's not funny.
It's really not. It's just, it's not funny at all. But that's really it. Don't push. Be nice to the people in front of you in line and behind you in line. Don't touch any cosplayers. You know, cosplay is not consent. You are allowed to molest any comic book writer you come across. Just that's just the rules.
He'll probably welcome it.
Yeah, he'll guide you through it. He'll tell you where he wants it.
I'll tell you where I need.
Okay. There you go. There's the line. You crossed it, bud.
Whoa, we were talking about missionary. totally vanilla.
Totally vanilla. No, and then another one is when you're picking out your free comic book day comics, the ones that say free comic book day, to my knowledge, only two of all of the free, we've had free comic book day for over 10 years, right?
Oh, yeah.
And well over a decade. And to my knowledge, we've only had two books in that entire time actually resell at a high value, become actually worth something. So just pick up one copy of a book that you want to read.
Oh, those are the rules. You're only allowed one copy.
So the kid behind you, you know, don't just pick up 10 copies of the book going, oh, it's, I'm getting them for my family. It's like, let them read your copy.
Yep.
Damn it. Let them read your copy and just pick up your books and be on your way, you know? And well, before you're on your way, make sure you shop at the store that's hosting you, the hosting free comic book day, because
I don't get those books for free.
Yeah. Right. And they could, and you're getting them for free, but they, you know, they could use your support. The comic book creators who are going to be hopefully at your local comic book shop, they will be if you go to Dr. Volt's, there'll at least be one, we're selling our books and would love to have you pick up a book. So, you know, stop by. Show up to free comic book day with a wallet is what we're asking. Maybe a little money in it too. Nothing else is free but the free comic book day books. If you want to know what is available, go to freecomicbookday.com. They have a full list. DC is the only one that's got it kind of obfuscated, but if you need to know, go to lunardistribution.com and you'll see what they're offering. Their Mad Magazine offering looks like a lot of fun, by the way. Because we haven't seen anything from Mad. We haven't really seen anything from Mad Magazine for a while. It still is being published sporadically, but they're actually doing a free comic book day, which gives me hope that maybe they'll reinvent Mad again, which would be fun. Because it kind of fell by the wayside when the original creators all retired.
Hey, Penthouse is back. There's no reason they can't.
Yeah, no reason why you can't bring back it. But on that note, we've laid down the rules. Don't be a dick. Come and have fun with us at Free Comic Book Day, Dr. Volt's Comic Connection, or whatever comic book store is near you. Go check out Free Comic Book Day.
And shower. You forgot showering.
You know what? We've really not had a problem with that at Volt.
Okay.
Yeah. Everybody.
That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, that's more of a convention problem.
Yeah.
You guys are the classy joint.
Meanwhile, we're going to jump into our TARDIS and go to the month of July and talk about comics that are going to be available in July that you should pre-order when you're at Free Comic Book Day. All right, Joss, what's your pick of the future?
This may actually be a June pick. I'm not 100% sure, but it is Scarlet Witch number one from Steve Orlando and Marvel Comics. Which it's a new Scarlet Witch run, and why not support that? Because I like girls in my comics. Mm-hmm. What happens when an unstoppable force meets the end of all things? When pure chaos meets pure destruction? Wanda's about to find out if she survives long enough.
Mm-hmm. Is this about her kids when they're in their 2 and 3 year old?
Possibly.
That's possibly chaos.
Pure chaos. That is pure chaos. I don't know. Teenagers are a little chaotic as well. Mm-hmm. I'm there right now.
Both her boys are young adults now.
Oh.
And yet Wanda doesn't look any worse for wear for it. So,
she is a witch.
Yeah, she is a witch.
I'm sure. Yeah. What about you, Jeff? What's your pick of the future, friend?
Pick of the future from Mad Cave. Gatchaman number one. Gatchaman number one. So that's coming.
We're making damn sure we're getting that one. That's coming out in June as well.
Yeah. So what about you?
So this is a July pick. We'll be getting over the month of June and July the new X-Men series. The post.
And August.
Yeah, and August we're getting the post-Krakoa era of X-Men. My first pick in that one for July is NYX. This isn't a book about X-Men. It's a book about mutants living past the end of their world and into a new beginning. This is Ms. Marvel embracing her mutant life in the neon streets of the Lower East Side. This is Enole trying to keep his head above water. This is Wolverine, Laura Wolverine, in the shadows of Bushwick protecting her own. This is Prodigy writing history as it happens and Sophie Cuckoo finding her own way. The news reports are bleak. The streets feel dangerous. There's something lurking underground. Evil is coming from every direction, but they're determined to make it. This is a mutant community. This is mutant pride. This is NYX. Mm. This looks fucking awesome. And it's Kamala, so of course I want to read it. But this looks fucking awesome. The idea of New York mutants who just sort of, they're kind of a loose team, you know? They sort of get together and, oh, shit, let me call Laura and... Let me call Laura and Sophie and go deal with this problem, you know? Maybe Enole can help us out. Prodigy's like, hang on. I got a phone tree here. Hang on, let me call some people. they're teens, so let me message some people and get everybody here. Yeah, it's going to be cool. I'm looking forward to it. There's also going to be this month, I'll just throw it in as a bonus, a Phoenix series starting by Stephanie Phillips. It's Jean Grey in space as the Phoenix in space doing space adventures. Yeah. I think that's cool. My Marvel thing is about to double because I'm going to be buying a lot of X-Men here for a little while until they all sort of shake out which one is good and which one's worth continuing to read. I doubt I'll continue reading X-Force, but some of the other ones I'll probably enjoy reading. Yeah. And that's it. Anything else this week, kids?
Nope.
I think we pimped free comic book day. Yeah. I think we pimped that one enough.
Yeah.
So we'll see you guys at Free Comic Book Day on May the 4th. Look for me in my Star Wars appropriate T-shirt.
Oh my gosh.
I will say, as I always do, until Kamala Khan moves to the Lower East Side, make mine Marvel.
For Hell's Kitchen.
For Stan.
For Asgard.